I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everybody and welcome to Ramble React. Liverpool hammered the Hammers to book their place in the Carabao Cup semis. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Welcome one and all to Ramble React. Luke Moore, we've just witnessed Jarrod Bowen score a goal on his birthday at Anfield. That'll be the headline, surely.
Is this the first time a team has played a Carabao Cup game by email? Yeah. Like, they just absolutely faxed it in. Right, we've got a busy Christmas period, lads.
Yeah.
We just do what we can, but don't do any more than that.
That's right, that's right.
And it was... quite, I mean, it's easy for me to say. Obviously, Anfield's a difficult place to go. David Moyes' barren run continues at that stadium.
21 games without a win,
yeah,
as a manager.
He's never won there, and he's been manager since 1998.
yeah, and he's had 21 attempts. I mean, 7 draws, not all been defeats. 14
that's
of them
have. The platform you build from. Yeah. But it was pitiful stuff, wasn't it? Let's be absolutely fair.
5-1 to Liverpool, of course. I'm sure everybody knows that. But it's always good to set the scene.
Oh, there's no one out there ignoring the Carabao, mate. Of course everyone knows
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not. Yeah. That's how... Maybe West Ham hadn't had their dose of Carabao, perhaps. Mm. But Liverpool certainly looked like it. They were straight out
they're
the traps.
They're contractually obliged to drink 3 cans each within 10 minutes of kickoff.
Yeah. I tell you who would love a bit of Carabao would be Jamie Vardy.
Vardy, yeah.
Are you it's thinking that the same way? Yeah.
Well, he's probably a Red Bull loyalist.
True enough.
He might be tempted for a big money move across.
I think the man's there for the turning.
It'd be like trying to tempt David Beckham at his pomp away from Adidas to Nike, wouldn't it?
Ah, yeah. Again,
tempting
though,
Vardy away from,
if the price is right,
Red Bull.
But yeah, so Liverpool have marched into those semi-finals with a very, very comprehensive victory against West Ham. I mean, I suppose the only surprising thing, Luke Moore, is that they conceded a goal. I mean, it was a lovely one. But other than that, I mean, Jamie Carragher was purring on CoComs, was he not? Saying
yes,
that he felt it was Liverpool's best performance for a while.
I think he felt like it was, as you know, to refer to something you spoke about earlier in the week on a pre-rec that will come out later in the year. He felt like it was his Mufti day. I felt like he was going from the super serious stuff in the Premier League to just reclining the chair back a notch, kicking the shoes off, putting the socks up on the commentator's desk, and just having a lovely old time.
Yeah.
And he was treated to a massive win, and so, you know, he got a bit carried away, but that's fair enough. I mean, it was lovely to see Messrs. Redknapp Senior and Junior in the studio. If we're going to talk about the broadcasting team
moment,
that was nice to see. Ultimately, you know, to cover the game, I'll just talk about the game kind of for a little bit. I mean, you know, if from West Ham's point of view, if you are going to set up like that, and in my view, they set up in a way it didn't suit the players out on the pitch. First and foremost, you know, you're going very direct. You're kind of striking long passes more often than not. You know, with the front four, none of whom is taller than about 5'7", and is going to get bullied by the Liverpool back line. And then you couple that with like a very passive approach, basically. You know, Liverpool have got the ability to take the game away from you anyway, let alone at home, let alone against that kind of setup. And I just thought, you know, maybe there are alternative reasons for it. Maybe they've been in really good form, West Ham. I think going into this game, they lost one in their last nine. They've got a busy Christmas period. They're fighting on a number of different fronts. Maybe it was just like, you know what, this is a bit of a free hit. But you're never really going to come away with anything if you're that passive and that kind of disjointed at Anfield. That's basically how I see it.
Yeah, well, I think I'd be surprised if you know, they were a bit defeatist before. I know they made a number of changes, but you know, they're doing all right in the league. They're eighth. Obviously in Europe they're doing well, as you say, but you know, if they were to win this game, which was a big ask, then they'd be into the semis and would probably be second favourites to win the damn thing. I mean, the fact is they've gone out, so there's no point in kind of pursuing that sort of train of thought. But I mean, the way the game started, Liverpool was straight out the traps. West Ham did look... Liverpool weren't really creating that much. And West Ham, I thought, you know, maybe on the break, that's what they're going for here. You know, as you say, the front line that they were going for, a bit of pace with Bowen and Co up there. And of course, when the first goal scored, they had a great chance to break. It was Benrahma who loses the ball. And you saw Bowen's body language. When he loses the ball, Bowen's like, oh, come on. Like, West Ham had a chance there. And I said this when Liverpool beat Fulham 4-3 in the league, that Liverpool didn't create that much. And they were, if you like, reduced is not the right word. They were, I suppose, I don't know if forced is the right word, but they had to pull something out the bag. And of course they did, with some superb goals. And you think to yourself, well, actually, you know, if they have to do that to score, then you've kind of got to hold your hands up at some point. But the fact of the matter is, Liverpool have those types of players because they're Liverpool. They're one of the best teams in the land. They've got the money, they've got the quality to attract these players. And when Szoboszlai hits that shot in the 28th minute, that absolute dinger into the corner, it just sinks you as if you're a West Ham player. You think, okay, we've dug in here. They've been right at us from the off. And he goes and does that, and you just think, bloody hell, yeah, that's what they've got in their locker. I mean, Szoboszlai's goal, Luke, was just pinpoint accuracy and power, everything you want in a 25-yarder.
His technique is incredible. His technique with both feet is actually really good. He scored a goal not dissimilar to that. I think it was on the half volley of his left foot against Aston Villa, where it kind of hit the net on the other side at the same kind of elevation, the same kind of pace. Like, his technique at striking the ball is really, really strong. And I think, you know, as he settles into his Liverpool career more, because his goal return hasn't, you know, he's drifted around a bit here and there. His goal return hasn't been amazing for Liverpool so far, for a player who's, you know, so dynamic and who actually scores quite a lot of goals for Hungary and has obviously scored goals in the past. But yeah, it's an interesting situation that, because they lose the ball, don't they, West Ham, and Liverpool are on them quick. It's like half an hour in. West Ham have ridden their luck already. It looks like it might become a bit of a long night for them. And I think the nature of the way that they lost the ball meant that West Ham couldn't get out to him quick enough. Yeah. And that to me is really interesting, because when I played as a young'un, you know, in the old amateurs, as, you know, an enthusiastic but limited football player, the coach would always say to us when we played at the back, look, if he strikes one from there and it goes in, you know, we'll deal with that. But you can't really do that at the very top level of football because they're so good at it. Like, it's almost, if you go to him, he might pull a pass out because he's a great passer of the ball as well. And if you don't go to him, you're basically giving a free hit. But the nature of how quickly the strike came after they lost the ball, which of course Liverpool do very well, I mean, it's very hard to deal with it. But I mean, realistically though, that is as you said, it's a complete fucking strike. It's a brilliant.
It's an absolute hit. But you treat different players differently in some circumstances. Everyone knows Szoboszlai's got a hit on him. So if you give him a bit of space, that you shouldn't do, as you say, but it's easier said than done.
It's easier said than done when you've lost a ball a second and a half before
and
that.
And that's the problem, isn't it, when Ben Rama...
You can't get back in, yeah.
And I think when Ben Rama, I don't want to be too harsh on him, you know, the West Ham did ship 5 goals, for crying out loud. But again, the manner of it was just weak. It was just soft. And a number of West Ham players did apparently complain of fatigue in the build-up to the game, right? So you think, okay... What we need to do is we just need to keep them going for a bit and then try and nick one on the break. It's a classic old thing. You're a smaller side going to a bigger side. But when that happens, it's just devastating. But the thing is that they get into half time at 1-0. And I'm thinking, well, okay, the tie's still alive. And we saw Paquetá warming up on the side. We know he's got a bit of quality and he's the type
didn't
of player...
Didn't change quick enough, did he?
Well, this is it, right? You think he's the type of player who can come on, give everybody a bit of a lift. You know, what can he do? Hey, all right, Liverpool, we see what you're doing. Well, we're going to play our man and we're going to play our top trump, if you like. But David Moyes did that. And you just talked about when you were playing football, right? My Sunday league manager used to do this all the time. Right, he would say at halftime, right, I'm going to start making changes. Okay, so I'll bring him on after 5 minutes in the second half. We'll just do it now. Like if you've decided you're going to do it, what's that 5 minutes going to do?
I feel like I'm on death row here.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, what's the point? You knew he was going to bring Paquetá on. They needed something. They needed to mix it up. Right. Now, whether that would... I mean, look, as the evening panned out, it wouldn't have been enough anyway. But the point is, I was sitting there thinking, when are they going to get him on? Because he could come on at 1-0 or 2-0. And at 2-0, you're thinking, the game's probably gone then, hasn't it? And of course, yeah. Jones gets his first of the evening. Nice finish from an angle. And you think, well, what's... You know. And that's why they lost the game, everybody.
No, but the thing is... I take all those points, but at the same time, you know, West Ham have got another 4 games, I think, in the next week and a half. You know, he's got, I mean...
So those 10 minutes that he didn't bring Paquetá on, he's just keeping him fresh, was that what it was?
No, but the point is he's got to rest Paquetá for something.
Yeah, but that's
he's
fine.
He's rested him for a reason, and, you know, maybe he should have made the change at half-time. It's easy to be wise after the event. I don't know if... realistically, Paquetá deals with or does anything different to stop that second goal happening anyway.
Well,
And it's a brilliant pass from Nunez. If it's a goal I'm thinking of, the second one was a brilliant pass from Nunez and Curtis Jones tucks one through Ariola's legs, right? Ariola probably should have done better. Paquetá's not going to stop that happening. You know, it's sliding door stuff. But you could argue, I suppose, that if Paquetá's on the pitch and Ward-Prowse is on the pitch, maybe they have a bit more control in the game, but probably not.
Yeah, I mean let me stress, it was a slightly strange decision for my money. I don't think that West Ham would have won the game had they have been brought on at half-time or had Paquetá. It was just, I suppose, symptomatic of what was going on, really. I mean, we should turn our attention more to Liverpool rather than what David Moyes did or didn't do with his subs bench. Jones scores that first goal and really had a great night, didn't he? Curtis Jones in that midfield.
He was absolutely fantastic.
Jamie Carragher said he is a starter now in Liverpool's best 11. And that is big praise indeed from a man who knows that club far better than most. And if you think about some of the midfield players they've had over the years, Jones would have seen, you know, he would have watched how many quality midfield players have they had under Jurgen Klopp. And I know some of them have moved on, but you go back to even someone like Wijnaldum, Fabinho, Henderson, you know, lot of quality and a lot of good solid operators in there who got a bit of class as well. Jones is now getting more of a chance. He was sort of drip fed into the team a little bit in previous seasons, understandably so. But now it feels like it's his time to go in there and shine.
Yeah, he's got versatility as well, played off a left tonight and can play more centrally as well. Has also spent a bit of time at fullback, I think, occasionally. He's super dynamic, really positive, has had his minutes managed really well by Klopp. You know, there's always a lot of talk about Guardiola and managing of young players coming through there and whether he gives them enough minutes or whatever he doesn't. You know, the Foden conversation and the fact that some players have left City because maybe they felt like they wanted to play more. Like, Curtis Jones's minutes have been managed brilliantly, and you know it's in stark contrast to what we just said earlier about some of West Ham's players. You know, that's the luxury, I suppose, you have, if you want to call it that, of a club the size of Liverpool. I think he's probably been a little bit unfortunate on the international side of things, because he's played at under 21 level,
yeah.
But he's come along at a time when England have got so many good players that he's just not really got much of a look in. But at 22, you'd imagine his best days are ahead of him anyway. And it is the other kind of dimension about it's really interesting, and going back to the Carragher comment, is that there has been a feeling based on last season that the one area Liverpool have kind of struggled in is the element of having control in midfield, because yeah. The players they've missed and the players they've had to let go and replace, and the way they've replaced them hasn't really kind of, nothing's clicked like it did in I suppose the classic Klopp team at Liverpool. But Jones can be an answer to that, and that's probably part of the reason Carragher's saying what he's saying, because there are other players in that midfield area that haven't really properly staked a claim. It's not there. I mean, with the exception of Szoboszlai, if you take into account fitness and players who are available, are there any other midfield players that are really stamping their authority and saying, we start for Liverpool in midfield every single week? There aren't, are there? Because of injuries and because of different transitional players coming in, you know, more recently and not fully bettered in yet.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity there, is what I'm saying.
Well, indeed, yeah. Someone else who got his opportunity against West Ham in the game was, of course, Jarrell Kwanza, who started at the back. And last week, so Joel Matip, of course, got injured. And last week, when he was asked about this, he said, well, my condolences to Joel, but my idea was to get over him anyway and get into the team. So
that's pretty honest, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
the other story of like I've heard players, ex-pros, say to me that like if they were strikers or they, you know, they were good friends with strikers who would be on the bench or whatever, they would say, I want the team to win, because obviously I don't want to have to deal with, you know, relegation or the pressure that comes along or the nasty atmosphere of just never winning, but I never want the striker to score,
yeah,
because I want it to be me.
Yeah,
and I would never say that at the time. But that's how I felt every single week.
Well, what a defender. I won't say what Jarrell wants, although he stated it there. But you want the player, you know, if you're a centre half, you want him to make loads of mistakes, but the keeper mops up for him. That's what you want. You don't want your team to lose or concede goals or anything like that. But I think
ultimately, though, that's the kind of one of the most unsaid things about professional football. You know, you talk about players, you know, having rivalries with opposition teams, players, stuff like that. Ultimately, the first and foremost rivalry is a player in your position that you want to be better than, right? You always want to, you know, force them through. So the amount of the amount of competition you've had just to get to where you've got to means that, you know, you have to be ruthless. And Jarrell Kwanza will probably have a personal relationship with Joel Matip and you know, wish him all the best and not want him to be injured and all the rest of it. But you bet your last dollar he wants to play. And how else is he going to get an opportunity?
Well,
so
exactly.
You've got to take it. You know, there's a lot of great young players in the Premier League throughout the years who have, you know, who have been given a chance because there's been an opportunity and they've taken it. You think of how Harry Kane forced his way into the Spurs team. Think how Marcus Rashford forced his way into the Man United team. Because there would have been an opportunity for them to take it, and Harry Kane would have been in Europe, I think, and he forced his way into the first team and they just couldn't ignore him anymore. Rashford would have been similar from memory, I would have thought, and he would have just kept scoring. And if you're a defender, obviously goals don't come into it. So you've got to take an opportunity when you can, because most teams like to have a settled back line. So I think he's just speaking the truth there. Whether it will go down well on Monday morning when he gets back into training, or not, I don't know, as he passes the gym.
Yeah.
All right, Joel.
Yeah.
Oh, Joel Matip's just blanked me.
Yeah. He did have to give Joel Matip a dead leg as he walked in and got it. There's another one for you. Oh, yep. Yeah.
Do you reckon he's like Kathy Bates in Misery, just keeping him hobbled?
Yeah.
And so he can never escape.
Oh, do you know, I've never seen
that. Is
that
a reference
film
that you get?
No, I do get the reference, but I've not seen the
film.
Our
younger listeners will definitely enjoy that.
They
will be running off to their Google machines trying to work out what the fuck I'm talking about.
Get your dial-ups going.
Yeah.
Kickstart that internet.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
An impressive win for Liverpool. Some of their youngsters got a bit of a, well, I say a run out, it's not quite right, but you know, they displayed the strength and depth that they have. You know, they bring on Salah, they bring, you know, just ridiculous what they've got. But the bad news, though, for Liverpool is that they've drawn Fulham in the semi-final.
Oh, it's bad news for you. You were absolutely spot on what you said yesterday. Or as we record this earlier today, about the fact that, you know, across two legs, there's nowhere to hide.
Oh, just, yeah.
You can't. You like it rarely strikes twice in that way.
It's so annoying. It's pissing frustrating.
You can't even say, "Oh yeah, we've got them at home, so we'll just make it a raucous."
No.
You might have them at home, but you're going to get them away as well.
I tell you this now. I'd rather a one-off game at Anfield than two legs. I would. You know.
You've taken this very badly.
I have taken it badly, Luke.
So it's Liverpool v Fulham and Borough v Middlesbrough v Chelsea. Yeah, that's the most boring draw.
Of course Chelsea get Middlesbrough. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No disrespect to Middlesbrough, but you're the worst team in the competition. That's why I wanted Fulham to get you. Okay?
And that does sound quite disrespectful. You can't just rule it out because you said no. That's what all pundits do.
I know.
No disrespect to whatever, but I think they're absolutely crap. Just say you think they're crap.
Yeah.
What do you think they're going to be doing? Like getting in the dressing room and going, Dion Dublin disrespected us earlier.
Yeah, no disrespect to Joey Barton, but I think he's a prick. Do you know what I mean? So
I would say huge disrespect to Joey Barton. And I think he's a prick.
Yeah, fine. For the complete set. No, but like, where am I? Liverpool versus Fulham. I mean, it's the amount of times that I've said on the Football Ramble, you know, Fulham have never won a major trophy. And then you get you to a quarter final and you think, you know what, on another night we might have lost that. But then they go into the semi-final and you think, bloody hell fire. Into the semi-final of the League Cup, I believe for the first time ever. The last time they were in a semi-final of the Domestic Cup was in the early noughties and they were beaten by Chelsea. You know, it's one of those ones where, you know, history is there for the taking. And then you get Liverpool in the semi-final. If you get Middlesbrough, say, if you get Middlesbrough, you think, you know what, in the final at Wembley, you never know. Over 90 minutes or 120 minutes or whatever. Yeah, a two-legged affair. Like, why is there still two legs in this competition in the semi-final? It's bollocks. One-off game.
Players don't play enough games.
That's true.
That we'll get our money's worth.
Yeah. Where's the old one-off game at Villa Park? Why did we not have a bit of that?
Yeah, I remember those days. I think based on what I've seen of the draw, Liverpool will be home in the first leg. So it'll be taken away from Liverpool. Because what you'd really want if you had to play over two legs is first leg at home.
Yeah, try and
get at some kind of lead.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's going to be very, very difficult for them, isn't it?
The only thing Fulham might take from that performance is that Fulham beat West Ham 5-0.
So they were one up, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Liverpool will worry about that, mate.
I suppose not. But, I mean, Chelsea should get the better of Borough. But then Middlesbrough, it is at the Riverside, the first leg.
Yep. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, for them to be in the semi-final of a League Cup is great for them at the stage they're at. They've kind of flattered to deceive a bit this season in the league. They've been on an amazing run around the start. So let me get this right. They started the season quite indifferently, then they were on an amazing run for a couple of months. They just like won every game.
Mm.
And now they've been a bit inconsistent ever since. But, you know, Michael Carrick's got a great track record and pedigree in playing in big games and being a part of big games. He's got all the experience in the world.
Yeah, but he hasn't played in them, though. Steve Bruce has also got that, Luke.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Why is Brucey catching strays? What's he done to deserve it?
Ask Pete Donaldson that.
Listen, when Steve Bruce was shit-housing everyone all over the place, you were defending him.
Yeah.
And now he's not. You're caning him.
No, I was just saying that Brucey's record in cup competitions, off the top of my head, is not that great. But he won a lot of domestic trophies at Manchester.
Off the top of your head, but it's a pretty safe bet, isn't it?
Yeah.
As a manager.
I just thought I'd put a slither of a disclaimer in there in case I'm missing something.
When I say to you now, picture Steve Bruce in your mind.
Yeah.
He's not lifting a trophy, is he, as a manager?
He's doing the dive into the pool.
He's jumping off the boat over that bloke on the holiday, isn't he? And that pair of shorts. Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Exactly what he's doing.
Fantastic player.
Yeah.
Of course. Carrick, again, fantastic player.
Great
diver. But
he's
still finding his way as a manager, you know? So it's... I would love to see Middlesbrough get past Chelsea. Again, you know, there will be Chelsea fans listening to this show. They know what to expect by now. I don't want Chelsea to win anything. I'll be very clear about that.
What about Liverpool?
None of this kind of no disrespect. No, I don't want them to win.
So
it's
would
as
you,
simple as that.
You prefer Middlesbrough or Fulham to win this competition, bearing in mind this century, Middlesbrough have won this competition.
They have, yep.
Yeah.
They have.
So you go Fulham number one.
I would prefer Fulham to win it.
Yeah, of course you would. Of course you would.
I'd go Fulham, Middlesbrough, yeah. Liverpool, Chelsea.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems highly unlikely that it would be a Middlesbrough-Fulham final. But that's the thing with football. I can't even get to the end of that sentence. They're two-legged semi-finals. Piss off.
You never know.
Piss off.
You do know.
One thing that won't happen in the League Cup final, with regards to the League Cup trophy, we should say, is that we won't see Santa Claus presenting it to the winner, because in the League Cup in England, it's of course the final is played at the end of February, if my memory serves me well. Whereas in Scotland, the League Cup is done and dusted before Christmas, which I think is an example to us all. And Santa Claus was there at Ibrox tonight after Rangers beat Aberdeen, of course, in the final at the weekend. And Santa presented them the trophy, which is quite fitting. I don't know whether it was related to the fact that Celtic fans were booing Santa at the weekend or not. Santa thought, you know what? I may not be liked in this part of town, but if I go across over there, they'll bloody love me for this.
I don't know if it's related. Let me help you out, right? It's definitely related.
Why are they booing Santa?
I don't know.
Miserable.
Frighteningly enough, you're the Scottish expert.
Yeah.
So you tell me. Was it the same guy?
Brilliant. Of course it is. It's Santa.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry for all the underage listening. Sorry about that. Just ruined their childhood.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I think, by the way, can I just say,
if
we are going to go down the road of suggesting this is the real Santa who exists and gets through all the work he gets through on Christmas, I doubt he's be doing this 5 days before the big day.
An early appearance at Ibrox.
It's his busiest time of year. He's not doing it 5 days before.
Yeah, well, no doubt His Majesty was very pleased. Anyway, from Santa to Santo, everybody. Let's move on to some current affairs in the Premier League. Nottingham Forest, of course, officially unveiled Nuno Espirito Santo as their new manager earlier today. And he did his first press conference, got through it unscathed. I think Nuno would be a good Santa. You know what I mean? Like at your local supermarket or something.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the name, obviously, but he's got the beard, he's got the vibe. You wouldn't really have to do much.
Got a good agent, so he got lots of gigs, doesn't he?
Yeah, you get well paid for
it. Right, you're at John Lewis week Tuesday. than your Marks and Spencers.
Yeah. Unfortunately, George Mendes has bankrupted the local Sainsbury's because they wanted you as their Santa, but there we are.
And you in the car park of the Lidl. He'd never be out of work. No. And he's got the beard already. So, yeah, I think I can see where you're going with that. Yeah, he seems like a nice fella as well.
Well, he immediately was asked about the strength of support Cooper had. And he responded by saying, yeah, like Steve Cooper was a special guy. The Forest fans are great. It was weird, though, when he kept saying, our fans are this, our fans are that. Yeah. And I was like, come on, at least let Cooper leave the door. You know, let him you know, clear his desk out before he starts saying our fans. I thought he could have said Forest fans.
Yeah, but he's been unveiled as the manager.
Yeah.
With the gear on.
Yeah, true enough.
If he starts saying them and this and them, he'd be like, but he could have said, well, the
fans at this great club, you know.
Yeah, we never read that.
Well, he basically was saying, look, Steve Cooper's a great guy, but they're my fans now, Steve. Okay? Yeah. Not yours.
Absolutely. I can remember like when Harry Redknapp would be upset about something at a club and the team he managed lost, he would be saying they did this and they did that. And when he won, he would say, we were this, we were that. So you can't go down that road. But I do think, you know, you guys mentioned it briefly on the show this morning about this appointment. Mm. Like, I think, you know, my position is that he, you know, Nuno deserves a fair crack. I mean, his record in England overall is good.
Yeah.
Of course, Spurs was an aberration. That was a difficult situation. Wasn't the right fit, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we have to remember, you know, Nuno has got Wolves, who are a team, you know, arguably a similar profile to Forest, promoted to the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And he's delivered them seventh in the Premier League and then an FA Cup semi-final in the same season.
Quarter-final of European competition as well.
Exactly. Yep. So Forest fans would clearly be very happy with that. But you've touched on what the challenge is. The challenge here isn't that, because, you know, if he applies the same kind of level of achievement at Forest that he does at Wolves, then, you know, all was well and good. But, you know, as you guys have said, Steve Cooper's a tremendously popular figure at Forest, and rightly so. And you wonder whether the Forest fans at the moment are quite ready to love again. You know,
yes,
and that's the brutal nature of football, right? Mm. You don't get a chance as a fan to really process the departure of a much loved manager before the next one's in the dugout, you know, literally days later. Mm. So it will be a really interesting first period of time when all these games come thick and fast. And I think it's a real, you know, feast or famine situation. Actually, I think if he hits the ground running and they start to do okay from the start, I think it may well turn out to be quite a shrewd appointment. If he doesn't, you know, it could be very, very tricky for all those reasons. And I will just add to that, you know, the first game he's got is this weekend at home to Bournemouth. Mm. I mean, it seems mad to say, you know, a first game in charge is a must win. But if you follow the most loved manager at that club since Brian Clough, and you lose the first game at home to Bournemouth 2 days before Christmas, you ain't the most popular person in Nottingham.
No.
Let's be absolutely clear. No matter how kind of nice you are as a bloke, that's not going to wash very well.
No.
So it's a very, very interesting situation, especially thrown against the background of the fact that the owner fucking loves firing people.
would you be surprised if Steve Cooper popped up in the Bournemouth end with the fans?
I'd love that.
It wouldn't be funny.
Mascot.
He loved the club. Bournemouth score, his fists flying in the air. Yes!
I'd love him to come out as the mascot holding Dominic Solanke's hand. In the full gear.
Yeah, I think that would be unlikely, though. I could see Steve Cooper doing a shift as Santa down at the supermarket. It's something he agreed to beforehand. He's fulfilling his roles.
And I know where you could see Steve Cooper, you dirty boy. It took you about 10 seconds to link him to the next big England position.
I had to bring Jim and Andy back in on it. They were going, I thought, what have I done here?
There were some Welsh people on Twitter who were very unhappy about that.
Well, who? Name them.
You want to address them personally?
Robbie Savage and Craig Bellamy?
There was talk of... No, not them. Yeah. There was talk of...
I share a birthday with Craig Bellamy, incidentally.
So my son shares a birthday with Gary O'Neill.
My son shares a birthday with Pele. What are you doing?
Well, I would still win.
Yeah, fair. Pele's never going to manage England, is he?
Nah. All I'm saying is there was talk of violent insurrection if Steve Cooper ever took the England job from some of the Welsh part of our listenership.
Really?
Well, I think you've neglected for too long, by the way, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true.
Could be totally honest, though. Do you think you could do more for our Welsh listeners?
I'm really frightened of them.
The Scottish get a lot of mention. You've got the brother Brendy connection with Northern Ireland. The Welsh don't get much at all from you. They don't get much sucker at all.
They get plenty. There's a lot of Harry Wilson chat these days. But
look, it's very late on a Wednesday night, and I don't propose to do a deep dive on Nuno because, frankly, life's too short. But if I may, what's interesting about Nuno Espirito Santo's managerial career is the jobs he's chosen to do. Like, if you go back over his CV, he starts off at Rio Ave, and Brasser will tell you about that. He delivers historically good stuff for them.
Yeah.
Goes to Valencia. It's a bit of a mixed bag. Yeah. They're a famously very demanding team.
I wouldn't judge anyone on their stint at Valencia. I mean, look at Gary
Neville.
Exactly
right. Then he goes to Porto, where really you're on a hide into nothing. It's either everything or you're fucking an absolute failure. Mm. And he got fired, like, basically in disgrace for finishing second.
Yeah.
Right. So that's obviously a difficult situation. The Wolves was clearly the outlier here and was a really lovely fit for him. He did brilliant stuff. Spurs were in an absolute shit state.
We can give him a pass for Spurs.
Yeah, I think so, because as soon as Antonio Conte was available and people knew he wanted it, they just kicked him out.
Yeah. He's won the Saudi Pro League.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna debase this show or our listeners by telling you about that, because I don't know anything about it and I have no interest in it. But ultimately, I suppose, if I'm being completely objective, you know, if you're gonna join a Mickey Mouse League, at least you win it. It could be worse, you know, it could be shit in it, and he wasn't. So that's fair enough.
Although he did lose his job second season.
Yeah,
but, it's difficult.
He's back to Forest.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, 200-something of the 400-something games he's managed as a manager, it's very difficult to know what to make of it.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah, no, indeed. So we shall find out more about Nuno and his managerial capabilities in this job at Forest, I think it's fair to say.
Seems like a lovely fella. I think he seems like a nice bloke as well.
Yeah, I think you're saying that a bit too quick. You know, as I say, Steve Cooper's barely left the building. And you're going, there's a place where I know he's really great. If I've even forgot what Stevie who, what?
Well, it's different to, it's slightly different to what you said before we came on air, which is that you said his agent's a really nice bloke. And so, I'd rather be on the side of Nuno than of big, gorgeous George.
Gorgeous George. He's got a foothold. Joga George. He's got a foothold back in the prem.
I think if George Mendes left football, I think Brasser would leave football. He'd like lose his will to live. He wouldn't have any reason to do it anymore. He's absolutely fueled by his fascination with George Mendes.
All I'll say is Brassel's not here to defend himself, ladies and gentlemen.
And nor was I earlier today. That's how it is.
That's how it is on the Football Ramble. It's cut
is he on the show
stuff.
With us on Friday?
Oh, he might be. I don't know. He might have bottled it.
I'm just going to check. Yeah. It's on Friday. Yeah, it's me, you, Jim and Andy. So we'll get stuck into him on Friday.
Yeah. I heard a rumour from the hierarchy of a Premier League club that they were utterly determined to sign a particular player who was destined to go to Wolverhampton Wanderers once, and one of their motivations was to mug off George Mendes, and they got it through and they were delighted by that. So more of that, please. Anyway, yeah. I've probably said too much there already. Thank you very much for listening to Ramble Rack. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. We'll be back on Friday, of course, with the preview show, and then the mailbag on Saturday. So make sure you subscribe and don't miss a single episode. Do email us, show@footballramble.com, ahead of the mailbag with any burning questions that you have got. In the meantime, find us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble, and remember to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Yeah, thank you very much. Before we go, I just want to make an emotional plea to all those that supported me last Friday in Jack's Encyclopedia, and I'm going to do so the same way this Friday. I need you behind me. We're taking on the evil empire.
Nobody
we came close
you.
On Friday.
You are the evil empire.
We can get closer this Friday. We can make it happen. If we can
make me
the lineal champion over the Christmas period, I think that would be a true Christmas story.
This is way below you. It's not below me, but it's way below you. I can't believe you're doing this.
Nah, trust me. We're going to make it happen. I'm going to do it for them. I'm not do it for you. I'm do it for them.
Bloody hell. It's like Darth Vader taking his helmet off, going, oh, you know, it's really hot and steamy inside here. I wish I didn't have to wear it. I mean, absolutely. I didn't choose this life. Right, anyway.
See you later.
Lots of love. We'll see you on Friday.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.